So the next few weeks, we're going to be doing some topical message. Again, if you have questions, store up your questions, because I plan on doing a question and answer session one night. And then after a few weeks of topical, we'll get back into another book of the Bible, and we'll get into our verse-by-verse teaching again. But the title of tonight's message is Let No One Deceive You. Let no one deceive you. And again, I call this series and the things I do online balanced belief, because our belief, our faith, always needs to be balanced. We get off balance in anything, it gets out of whack, right? Like, and I want to say that our society, here, back up a little bit. I hope you got your life jacket on, your spiritual life jacket. We're going to go a little bit off the deep end tonight, but we're not going to go so far out, and we're not going to go too deep where you need an oxygen tank, where you need a lifeboat. But sincerely, and some of the things we're going to talk about, we're going to need to keep on our vest, our faith, because it might make you sink. But that's the point of tonight's message, is to keep you from sinking. Why? Well, because society is sinking. Society, I believe, is in absolute free fall. And I'll say this, that was once fringe, you know, the outside of things, the edge of something. What was once fringe, well, you ever have something rip and it just keeps ripping, and the edge and that string keeps pulling, and then all of a sudden it gets to the middle of the garment and the garment's ruined? Our society, the stuff that was on the fringe, on the edge, is now mainstream. Things that were once in the shadows are now definitely broadly done in daylight. You know, when I was a kid, there was a show called The X-Files. It was a weird show about all sorts of paranormal things, about UFOs and aliens. But now these things that were once an X-File, a fringe thing that nobody really believed, there's a few people out there who believed them, but they were all kind of strange, it's on the news. In fact, it's even in Congress. Congress has hearings on these things that were once fringe. Now, I want to warn you, to focus entirely on these things would be very foolish, would even be dangerous, would be unhealthy. But I think even worse would be to ignore it. In our day and age, because you can't ignore it. Because if you ignore it now, it's dangerous. You would put yourself, I think, in spiritual danger. But I do want to lay the groundwork here and say that, as Pastor Chuck Smith used to say, where the scripture is silent, I will be silent. Right? If the scripture doesn't talk about something, I'm not going to talk about it. In fact, James or Jude talks about people who think they have insight into these spiritual things, but they don't. But on the other hand, I've heard it says where scripture whispers, I'm not going to yell. And I think tonight we're going to look at some things that scripture whispers about. Because if we slow down and look at what scripture says, and we study and consider what it talks about, scripture tells us a lot more than we read at first glance. And maybe even a lot more than you hear in a normal Sunday message or a normal Wednesday message. This is not a normal Wednesday message that we're going to get into. This might even be like a Tuesday evening or a Thursday evening study for the people who really wanted to get into some fringe things. But I'm sharing it with you tonight because I think it's important. Again, with the title of the message, Let No One Deceive You, that if we're going to take away anything from tonight, it's that you should let no one deceive you. Why? Because that's what the world is full of deception. We're going to see that. But that scripture needs to be your anchor. It needs to be, you ever see guys crawling, doing mountain climbing? They put the belt on and they've got the rope and they clip on. Well, we need to be clipped on and we need to be anchored to the truth, because with the amount of these things that we're going to look at tonight that are creeping into society, and some of them, guys, are very true and very real. And some of them, well, maybe not. You're going to get lost. You're going to free fall yourself, and you don't want to do that. And again, the things that we're going to look at are not the primary issues of Scripture. The things that Scripture whispers about are not these, are these things, but the things that Scripture shouts about is who God is, that we can know Him, we can be friends with Him, and most of all, we can be saved by Him. And that's the thing that Scripture really wants you to know. But it also talks about other things that if you're going to stand around and study, you're going to come across a need to know. And especially in these last days. Why? Because these last days are days of deception. I mean, you know it. It's full of deception. And it's getting worse, guys. It's obvious it is. And if you and I are not serious Bible students, we are not in the Word day in and day out. You might have gotten away with it in the 90s. You might have gotten away with the 80s. You probably got away with the 1800s. Now, did you really? We could do a whole study on that. But today you can't get away with it. If we are not serious Bible students, we will be in serious trouble, guys. Think about, there's a fire extinguisher over there, right? It's probably a good idea to go over there and look at those instructions once in a while and just make sure you're fresh on it. You know, I was on a plane a couple weeks ago. You read it, you know, you see it, figure out where the exits are, and think about how the door might open in a crash, but then you don't think about it again. And I want that to be like tonight's message. We know what the operation is. We see it kind of going on. We familiarize ourselves with it, but then we don't really need to think about it all that often. But if we don't think about it before the disaster happens, we're going to be in a lot of trouble and we're going to panic and be lost when it does happen. So God, we pray tonight that in your word, even though we're not going verse by verse, there's plenty of verses we're going to look at. And Lord, we pray that your spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth. And that despite the evil and the wickedness and the lies and deception and other strange things that we're going to talk about tonight, that Lord, we would keep our focus on you and know that you're the God of all truth and that you've told us about things beforehand that we might be prepared and we might be ready. So we thank you for that and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we read a couple of verses, I want to talk about the word deceive. Deceive, right? I think we all maybe have an idea of what it means, but listen to this. It means to mislead by a false appearance or statement, right? That deception is telling you one thing, but it's something else. But listen to the secondary definition, or maybe even the primary definition in the scripture. It means to seduce wholly. Think about Samson, how he was seduced by Delilah, right? He was seduced. He was deceived by her. She was, oh, Samson, I love you. And she was just trying to get him to cut his hair off and get the Philistines to come in and she was not a good lady. But if you're deceived, if someone is deceived, you've been seduced. And usually you are seduced away by sin. And who's the one doing the seducing and deception? It's not God. It's the enemy. Jesus says this in Matthew 24, 21. And I'll read the full breadth, even though I only want to call something out. He says, "For then there will be great tribulation." You remember this from our study in Matthew. "Such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor now ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved." He's talking about the great tribulation in the end. "But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it." Jehovah's Witnesses need to read that. "For false Christs and false prophets will rise." And here, this is what I want you to listen to. "They will show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." See, I've told you beforehand. Look, if he's in the desert, he's not there. He's talking about himself. Jesus is saying, he's talking about the very end times there, but he's saying, look, there's going to be such strong deception in the end times. There's going to be false messiahs, false Christ, people with amazing powers to deceive. And even the elect, even the believers, if possible, these deceptions are so strong, would deceive them. Even people with the truth would be thrown off by the powers and signs and wonders by these things. Now, we're talking about things about the Great Tribulation, and we're going to look at some things leading up to that. 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul says this in verse 7 through 12. He says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." A lot of times we think this stuff only happens at the end. It's already at work, he's saying. "Only he," and that's the Holy Spirit, "who now restrains, will do so until the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way." I just want to go off on talk about this, but we're not going to do that. "And then the lawless one will be revealed, Antichrist, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." Listen to this. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders." These are things that are so amazing, but their point is to lie to you. "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." Why are these people so easy to trick? Why does it take deception? Well, it's easy to trick someone if they don't have the truth. And how do we get tricked spiritually? If we don't love the truth. And I think we love the truth. That's why we're here. That's why we're saved, because we love looking for the truth and we found it in Jesus. And that's his grace. But listen to what Jesus, in Revelation 13, what this says. It's talking about the Antichrist, 13 through 15. He says, "He performs great signs so that he even makes fire to come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. The point is what I say is, like, in the end times, there's going to be somebody going around calling down fire from heaven. It's not God. It's not a godly power, but the Bible tells us about it. 2 Thessalonians 2, to back up a little bit further, Paul says this: let no one deceive you by any means. And he goes on talking about the great falling away comes first. I just want to teach about all these verses, maybe another night. But the point is that there's a big warning here. Let no one deceive you by any means. And these verses, they are primarily talking about the very end, the great tribulation, the rise of the Antichrist, the removal of the church and the Holy Spirit, and the great deception that's going to go out. And we need to be aware of that, because that's the enemy's ultimate goal, to pull us away from God, to not look for Jesus. But know that the deception just doesn't start one day. The deception is building up to that that great tribulation, just like the troubles in the world are building up. We have trouble now. It's not the great trouble, and they're getting worse, just like birth pangs. So will this deception be until the very last days. That these end times, right, the last centuries, the last decades, we are living in the end times. We are not in the end time, the 7 years of great tribulation, right? We're not there yet, but we're in the time leading up to that. And in fact, the Bible says that that's an exciting time, that many desire to look into those things. But guys, it means that our time too is full of great deception. Now, I don't want to be the chicken little sky is falling. Oh, the sky is falling, right? I don't want to scare you. I don't want to make you turn into a total nut like me. But I do want to be honest with you. And especially as a pastor, as a dad, as a friend, I want to be honest with you. It's my role to be honest with you that the deception is getting worse. Even in the 20-something years I've been saved, my friends and I talk like, we could never imagine the amount of deception that was out there, that was in there, that we were in. It's so bad, guys. You know, if we were on the Titanic and it's sinking and I'm just like, oh, you know, don't worry about it. It's just a little water. But I knew it was sinking. I wouldn't be telling you the truth. And that's the same thing here. In fact, 1 John tells us this in 1 John 4:3. And this is the spirit of an Antichrist, that not confessing Jesus. He said, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. We know the Antichrist is coming one day. I'm not looking for him. I'm looking for the Christ, Jesus Christ, to return. But we know the Antichrist is coming. We know that just as God's spirit is in the world at work, so is the spirit of the Antichrist. And who do we see before as the spirit of the Antichrist? Satan. He's in the world working right now. He's the father of lies, Jesus told us. And to be ignorant of his work, not that we want to focus on it or glorify it, but to be ignorant of it would be foolish. 1 John 5:19 says this, that we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Think about that verse for a minute. The whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. You and I were before we met Jesus. We were on the sway of sin. And who loves to bring us around like a Pied Piper by our sin? Well, the enemy does. So who are you saying, Tim? Well, I'm not saying it. The scripture says it, that the whole world is under his sway. So what does that mean? That the whole world, whether they realize it or not, is under the influence of Satan. Media moguls, maybe that's pretty easier to see today. What are the talking heads on the news talking about? What are the movies about that are popular? What is the music that's popular? They said, oh, the Super Bowl halftime show was wonderful. Well, yeah, I don't encourage you, but if you're that curious, go Google the lyrics for what the song he was singing in Spanish. They're talking about suing the station and finding them big money because of the stuff he was saying, just because it wasn't in English. It was disgusting. Tech billionaires, what are they doing? Politicians, even elementary school teachers. You think that all this stuff is happening in schools today because, oh, it's just what they think? No, it's because they're under the sway of the wicked one. HOA presidents, even soccer moms, under the sway of the wicked one. And catch this, I believe it's all depending on how deceived they are. The more deceived, the more under the sway. The more deceived, the more hell is spewing out of their lives and more that they're focused on and what's the word? Tell me. The more that they're promoting. Now, when it comes to conspiracy, right? I think that there's a difference, right? There's active conspiracy, right? You might be in a conspiracy to overthrow the captain on your ship and there's mutiny. There's guys who are actively involved, right? But then there's also those who are just deceived, who are unaware participants. Like I said, there's the Pied Piper and then there's all the mice going along with them. But I think in the world too, that there are some people who are actively involved in conspiracy. They get together at these groves around the world. They sacrifice children. They do other wild things that I'm not going to talk about. They are actively involved in conspiracy. We're going to do this and we're going to manipulate the world. They get together every year and they call it these summits and they call it the, who's that? What's that? I'll talk to you about it later because I forget the name of it. But they are actively working to manipulate how the world goes as leaders. Now, some of them actively know that they are worshiping the devil. Others don't. Others just think that they're smart and they're wise and they've got power and they've got money and we can just manipulate things and you'll own nothing and be happy. Others are just deceived. Oh yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm going to go along with that. You know, we really do need to worry about global warming. And oh yeah, we should open up the borders and whatever it is. They're not actively going, I am worshiping Satan. They're just deceived and they're going along with the show and promoting it and think it's a good idea. Why? Because they are deceived. And then there's others, maybe in office, maybe we elected them, maybe you didn't, maybe they're your boss, maybe it's the school teacher, and they're just inept. They're not actively worshiping Satan in their mind, right? Like, they are in ways, that's another message. But they're not actively with an idol bowing down or killing an animal or something like that. And they're not just deceived, right? Like they are to some point. They're just inept. They just don't understand. They're foolish and they're just going along with the show. Oh, well, yeah, I guess that's what everyone else is doing. And oh, it sounds cool. It sounds good. Oh, you know, they're just not smart enough to realize that they're a cog in the machine, that they're a pawn on this chessboard. And so for you and I, what do we need to take away from most of this? Just to think for yourself, but to think for yourself biblically, that all you're thinking, whatever it is, whether it's about going buy toothpaste, whether it's going to hang out with friends, whether it's watching the news or reading a book, is to think for yourself and think biblically. Because how does this all work? What does deception do? It makes you think another way. It twists your thoughts. It twists your heart to think the way they want you to think about something. And if you're not thinking about the way, you're not thinking about things the way God wants you to think about them, the way God sees them, well, who are you going to start seeing them like? You think it's you, but it ain't you. It's going to be the same thoughts that the devil has. And I want you to say this. You know, I've gotten in trouble in lives past about having an answer for everything in an argument, whether the answer is right or not, I don't know. But the Bible really does have an answer for everything. And for everything that we talk about and everything else you can think of, the Bible does have an answer for it. But you're going to need knowledge of what the Bible says. You're going to need wisdom on how the Bible applies it. And most of all, you're going to need God's Spirit and His gift of discernment to boil it down to what's really happening, being said, and being observed. But in an age, in our age of total deception, you may never know. And I've said it before, you may never know what the truth is. You may never be able to get to the bottom of it because the deception is so deep, the conspiracy, so to speak, the ineptness, all that stuff we talked about, the spaghetti monster of that is so convoluted, you'll never figure it out. So you just have to say, you know what? I'm never going to figure it out. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm just going to follow Jesus. And if I know what the truth says, then it doesn't matter what lie comes at me. But we look at World War II. I'm not going to get into all these because this will really upset some thinking, right? Or 9/11. Did it really happen the way we think it happened? The origin of COVID. JFK's assassination. You telling me now, you know, I'm not going to go off on my soapbox on any of these. But here's an interesting one. There was a FOIA request recently and they came across an email during the global war on terror when we're going to Iraq and Afghanistan. Of someone related to a high office. And if you Google it, you'll see that they say, no, it wasn't Hillary Clinton emailing, right? It wasn't true. It's fake news. But the problem is it's real news. It was somebody who worked for Hillary Clinton. The fake story is that it was Hillary Clinton, but it wasn't her. It was someone who worked for her who was looking for a resurrection chamber where there was apparently a buried Nephilim. I want you to think about that for a minute. If you don't know what that is, we'll talk about that. That was in a classified email that they found. Just hang on. Or Epstein. There was nothing there. There's nothing there. Now there's stuff there. Everything's redacted. If we release it all, it'll make everything fall apart. Well, good. It should fall apart. Think about the conspiracy behind all that, all the strings involved, and how the world is all under the sway of the wicked one. I think Epstein's bad. Well, the guy controlling Epstein is even worse. Panama Papers a few years ago that revealed there's a global financial conspiracy among all these rich people who control the world, and it just evaporated overnight. Why? Because if you try and expose the people who are really in power, they're just going to cover it up, and you're not going to know anything about it. So you and I, what is our duty? Not necessarily to revolt, maybe, but to let no one deceive you by any means. Your duty, believer, as a follower of Jesus, is to not let yourself be deceived. And that's hard in our day and age. That's like saying, don't get wet when you go to the pool. You're going to get wet sometime. You're going to get tricked sometime. But just be willing to be okay with realizing that, oh, I was tricked. I need to change my mind on something. But that being part of our duty, we have to be aware. We can't go around with our head in the sand. And that's tough. That's hard. Don't watch the news all the time. It's don't read the news all day. Don't read it before you go to bed. Sometimes I'll read it during the day, and then Ashley will want to talk about some things she saw at night. I'm like, babe, I can't. I was looking at it all day. I'm sorry. I can't. Because it's so heavy. It's so dark. It's so deceptionful. But we have to be distrustful even to a point. Even of those in ministry. Of all those things come out. Don't even just trust the words that I say. I hope that I'm trustworthy. I hope that I'm following the Lord. I pray that I am. I pray for you. But like the Bible says, be a Berean. Does what you hear in the news, in the pulpit, match Scripture? Does it point to Jesus? Or does it point to themselves? When someone's teaching you the Bible, is it I point, I've got the answers and I figured it out? Or is it him? Pay attention. When you're reading, even when you're reading a Christian book, read between the lines. What's their motive for telling me this? Look them up. See what their background is. Do they come from a certain background? Is that what, are they trying to sneak in their point of view, their twist? You know, it's been said to follow the money, and where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, sometimes the answer is really simple. We just don't like it. Because it would mean bigger implications. But what we need to do as Christians is not check our minds at the door. The Christian faith is not a dumb faith. It is an intelligent faith. It is a logical faith. It is a wise faith. But we need to think these things through to the end. That if something says something, think through its logical end. What is this doctrine, like we talked about on Sundays, where does this doctrine ultimately lead me? Does it lead me to Jesus? Or does it lead me astray? Does this thing that they're pushing in the news or pushing in school or telling me about history or that I'm watching in this movie, is there a current here that is trying to lead me a different way, slowly, slowly, slowly? You know, like the idea of frying a frog, you know, boiling a frog, right? If you just threw the frog into the hot water, the frog would hop out. But if you slowly turn that water up, they won't realize that they're boiling until they're cooked. And the enemy's smart. He's not going to turn it all the way up on you. He couldn't turn it all the way up 40 years ago. People were too smart. We were living our lives. Things were too good. But now, things are just, flames going everywhere. And people are like, oh, that's great. Oh, put me in the flame. The deception is so great out there. And you look around and you go, how are people believing that? How are people getting involved in that? The heat's been on for a long time and we haven't noticed. Be aware. You know, my friend and I were talking about the Super Bowl commercials, even the halftime show, and he was talking to like his boss who said he was getting all emotional about it, like emotional, like, oh, it was so wonderful. And he's like, bro, you're getting played. You're getting tricked. There's this thing called a ring camera now. This isn't what he was talking about, but this is another one. They're sneaking on you. These ring cameras, right? Oh, it's a great idea. You have a doorbell with a security camera, right? You can see who's at your door on your phone. It's a good idea. But you know what they have in it now? Facial ID and tracking and mesh networks to where even if it's not online, it'll connect to the other ring doorbells. And you know what they sold it as? If your dog gets lost, we can find your dog. And it looks around the neighborhood. It begins looking at all the other cameras and find your dog. Say, oh, your dog's over on this street. Oh, that's great. What does 1 Thessalonians 5:3-4 says? For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains on a pregnant woman. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that day should overtake you as a thief, talking about the return of Jesus. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. They're selling you safety and security, but what you're really getting sold is a prison. Now imagine you're on the run and you're a criminal. They could do the same thing and find you with the camera. But imagine a government that is not good. Oh, you voted for Trump last time. Oh, you're a Christian. Here's your face. We found you. Where are you going to go hide? This is the stuff that's being set up for the end times, guys. And I want, again, to say the deception is they're selling it to you as, oh, it's a good thing. No, no, privacy is a better thing. You'll find your dog. My dog came home. We found her after 2 weeks. And if you don't find your dog, that's a sad thing, but it's not worth selling your privacy and security away. That's another thing I want to teach on in a couple weeks is what the Israelites did when they gave over everything to Egypt and what happened there. But let's go on. I need to go faster here. For, you know, the left thinks that they're woke, but that should be you, Christian. You should be the most woke person out there and not the way they are. You should be the most awake to these tactics and these things in the world. You know, what do you know about history? What do you believe about the age of the earth or even how politics work or how the science, to trust the science, how that science actually gets approved? And is it truth or is it not truth? What about the wars in the 20th century? How they started? The first Gulf War was started by an ad agency. That's another thing. Again, I'm not going to get all these things. I know I'm touching all these icebergs, but I'm trying to make a point here. The point is, when you hear about something strange, when it pops up, do you process it? Do you think about it? Or do you just pass it off and not? You know, I learned the other day about this thing called, I forget the name of it, maybe Ash, you remember, but there's this disc from ancient Egypt. It's this metal disc about this really hard metal to work with. It is like perfectly formed and folded over, and it looks like it was made on a lathe, and they don't know how they made it because the technology to do it, they didn't think they had, or they wouldn't even know how to do it. And what does this thing look like? It looks like it's a part to a larger machine. It actually looks like an impeller blade, and people have tried to figure out what it's for, but no one seems to know. Or Stonehenge in England, all those rocks. We know that there was worship there, but how do they even lift them up with the technology that they had? Or Easter Island, those large stone figures that are on that island in the middle of the South Pacific. How do they get there? This one, this one is going to be a big focus for the remainder of our time, but UFOs. This is a weird thing. Again, this is X-Files in the 80s and 90s. This is a show. This is weird stuff. I just saw online today, Montana Tech now offers a college course on UFOs. It's this. See what I'm saying? The fringe is now becoming the mainstream. Guys, in the 60s, I believe it was called Operation Looking Glass. I could have my memory wrong on that. But the government, the CIA, was involved with psychics and trying to see things, and apparently they could, on other sides of the world for their spying. This is unclassified stuff. I know it sounds weird, and I don't want to get too into it and push you off in the wrong direction, but that stuff's satanic, guys. That stuff is demonic, and our government, fully into it, even 60, 70 years ago. The pyramids, how did they do it? We still apparently don't know. How did they do it? But what do you think about? And what are people clamoring for in our day and age? Going to outer space? Finding eternal life? Humanism? Transfer our consciousness into a computer? AI to be our God and answer all our questions and really take away our work? We won't have to work anymore. AI is going to do it all. We're going to all have basic, universal basic income, right? We're trying to get rid of the consequence of sin, which is work. But look at what we're doing in the place. We're building an idol that's going to control us. We're looking for life in outer space. We want to meet higher beings, but don't let it be Jesus. Maybe Buddha, but not Jesus. But if aliens come, that's who we want to meet. We want to find intelligent life. Is there intelligent life out there? We've been funding this stuff forever. Satellites, space telescopes. We want the world to be unified in sin. Extreme drug use, seeking spiritual things without seeking the truth. That you want to be deceived? That's the quickest way to be deceived, is try and get spiritual without the truth. But this is all the Tower of Babel was, guys. Man exalting himself up to the heavens. We can be like God. We'll put ourselves up to be like God. And again, space travel's cool. And I have nothing against going to space and making satellites and exploring. I think that's awesome. But what I'm saying is the heart behind it, the spirit behind it, is not doing it for exploration. It's doing it for some other purpose. So if you were the enemy, and I hope you're not, but if you can imagine yourself having an enemy or being the enemy, wouldn't you want to make sure that anything that comes up against your narrative of control and deception Anything that reveals the truth, you would obscure? Why? Because if any of these things point to maybe Easter Island, I'm not saying it is, but think about it for a minute. If the truth about Easter Island might get people to believe in the global flood and then begin to believe the Bible because of that, wouldn't you want to cover that up and sweep that under the rug? If the truth about the pyramids, I'm not saying that anything, these things are it, but just as a thought exercise, that the pyramids, and we began to realize how they were actually made, began to reveal the Bible and the God of heaven and the influence of heaven and earth together, wouldn't you want to obscure it? Or wouldn't you want to use it and get people deceived with it some other way? Oh, the aliens must have helped them. The aliens did it. Because if you can't hide it, ignore it. If you can't ignore it, put disinformation and misinformation out, right? Like, you can't hide it, so you just pretend it doesn't exist. But when people can't do it, then you got to tell them something else about it. Remember, we remember this in COVID. Put disinformation, wrong information, and misinformation. Get people to talk about it, but talk about it and think about it in the wrong ways. If that doesn't work, then you defame the character of the people who are telling the truth about it. You say, oh, no, that person's messed up. That person's wrong. They don't have this. But if that doesn't work, just change the subject. Look at our world, how fast the subject changes in our world and our news cycles these days. You can't keep up. And that's what communism does. That's what a dictatorship does. But that's the end goal, to control you. It's all about controlling you. And God doesn't want to control you. God wants you to be in control, self-control, right? But God wants a relationship with you. The enemy wants to control you and make you his slave. And again, look at this world. Two ways I think things are spinning out of control in our world and subject to changing. Naturally, because those birth pangs are happening so quick now. There's so much deception, so much evil, so much wickedness at work right now. A new news story happens every week. Like, Ronald Reagan was shot in the beginning of the 80s. It was probably news for 5-10 years. Donald Trump was shot. It was news for a week. And then someone else was shot. And then something else happened. And just saying. Not only is it natural, there's so much happening, but it's also artificial. You know, Carolyn Leavitt, the White House press secretary, talking about the Epstein file, says, we're moving on from that. And me and the internet would say, no, Carolyn, we're not moving on from that. We're going to get to the bottom of this, even if it does mean the whole system falls down. They want you to move on from that. And the enemy would want you to move on from this. Would want you to not think about these things. But God would, again, not as your primary study that's about Jesus. If you got 10 minutes a day, spend it just with Jesus and learn about Jesus and reading the Gospels. But if you got a little bit more time, make sure you're thinking about everything. Why? Because the enemy's ultimate goal is to dethrone God and put himself there. Remember, Jesus said, on earth it as it is in heaven. And I think the enemy would say the reverse, in heaven as it is on earth. You know, what a piece of intel that'd be for us. If we begin to plug this thinking into everything we see, things begin to make sense. Things begin to be clear, and it's really hard to be deceived. You know, scientists are already not happy with evolution. And so they have to, because evolution is obviously a fraud. So they begin to say, oh, life must have been seeded here. It must have come from another world. Life is too complex. It couldn't have just happened. It happened somewhere else, and we don't know how that happened. But then they brought it here, and it seeded here. It came on an asteroid, or maybe aliens were here. Even pop culture has been doing these things in movies recently. And basically, they're that Romans 1 willful or ignorant. We don't want God, so we got to make God out of something else. God did it, but we don't want to believe that, so aliens must have done it. Well, even if they did, who made the aliens, right? It was God. We don't want the God of heaven. We don't want the highest extraterrestrial being, God, to enlighten us, but we'll be enlightened from a lesser extraterrestrial being. I mean, think about that. Look at that thought pattern and the way the world thinks. Well, listen to this. Have you ever read Ezekiel, Daniel, Revelation? There's some strange-looking creatures in there. There's some technology in there that's pretty much out of this world. In fact, if you read about the New Jerusalem is a 1,200-mile cube. When you do the math and you look at what Scripture says, of a city that comes down out of heaven to you. Star Trek in the 80s and 90s, they had this group called the Borg. They were like, their spaceship was a big cube. This is what it is. I mean, we get scared of reading Revelation. I'm not saying that the New Jerusalem is a spaceship. What I'm saying is it sounds very sci-fi. And we like to ignore that and think that New Jerusalem is something. It's this big, amazing city that God makes and it comes down out of heaven. And in the new heavens and new earth, it kind of orbits around the planet. We won't go that far tonight. Just hang on to that one. I know I'm giving you a lot, but keep that life preserver on. The Bible talks about three heavens. It talks about the sky or atmosphere as the first heaven. The second heaven is space in the universe where the planets and solar system and galaxies are. But then it also talks about the third heaven. That's heaven of heaven. That's the spiritual realm. In my mind, as a kid, I've always thought of it as the heaven behind heaven, right? That you can't see. The Bible also talks about these, and I just want you to hang on here. And I know I'm touching on a lot of things, and maybe it's a bit much for tonight, but I appreciate you hanging on. The Bible talks about spiritual beings. In Genesis 6, again, these are things that you don't want to spend too much time on, but Genesis 6 talks about it, Jude talks a little bit about it, talks about the Nephilim. And that word translates to giants. And if you listen to what happened, it was fallen angels came down and found women and had babies. And these babies were Nephilim. But what does that imply? That implies that somehow angels can physically reproduce in a manner similar to humans. Well, then there's angels, there's demons, we're not really sure what the difference is there, but there's some thought that the demons, that the Nephilim were killed off in the flood. And again, this is kind of extra biblical. I don't want you to think of this as necessarily truth, but as a thought exercise, that these demons were maybe the souls of the Nephilim, and they don't have anywhere to go yet because the end is not yet. And so they roam the world looking for a new body to possess, right? Because it's not an angel. An angel has a form it can take. Again, just something to think about. But then there's Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate spiritual being. Remember, we are made in the image of God, and yet Jesus comes down and looks like us. He's got a presence to him. And then there's us. We're spiritual beings too, but we're mostly physical. But there's a spiritual element to us too that you can't see, you can't measure. You know, some angels have human form. Some of us confuse them for people. Some are glowing, can change your appearance. It says that the enemy can disguise himself as a minister of light. They have physicality. They interact with our world. Angels come down. They didn't see him, but God would send angels down and they'd wipe out whole armies. If I'm just a ghost, there's no way I can take out an army, but they had power to kill armies. They had power to measure. They had power to do things. They can be visible and invisible. Remember Gabriel showing up and then disappearing? There's a realm out here, guys, that's real. And again, I know it sounds weird. I know it's a lot in one message, but I want us to think, because we're going to get to a point in a minute, trust me. But Jesus, before the resurrection, he walked on water. He was transfigured before them. He glowed. His appearance glowed. He revealed his spiritual self in there. His body even survived that long fast. And after the resurrection, he had his resurrection body. Remember, he walked through the walls. The disciples were all in a room. He comes through the walls. But then what does he do? He eats. He chews on a fish, swallows the fish. It goes in his stomach. But I thought he was a ghost and came through the walls. And he says, I'm not a ghost. My resurrected body now has physicality and a greater physicality, right? Now, we really don't have time, but the idea of dimensions, right? I'm going to steal a piece of paper from you. This piece of paper is two-dimensional, right? If I draw a person on it, they live in two dimensions. This little two-dimensional man can go this way, this way, this way. He has no idea what's out here, right? And if I come and I stick my finger through this piece of paper, what is he going to see? He's not going to see my finger. He's just going to see a slice of my finger because I'm a three-dimensional being going into this two-dimensional space. And I'm not going to hang on this one for too long. But think about that. We are the three-dimensional being, or really four-dimensional because we go through time. And then if a higher dimensional being comes into our space, right? We're going to see things that are weird. We're not going to understand how it works, but it has a greater reality to it than we do. And think about Jesus. He is God of all gods coming down into our reality. And we don't understand how it works, how he can walk through walls, but he did. Somehow his atoms went through those atoms. And so for us, again, I don't want you to hang on to these minor points and these thought exercises, necessarily scripture and the three-dimensional picture of scripture, but I'm really just trying to have a thought exercise based on scripture. Why? That we would consider. And when we watch, we would be sober when we watch. When that wild sign comes, we go, oh, the Bible told me there would be amazing signs and wonders that are out trying to trick me. So be sober. I mean, do we think of heaven as a spiritual realm, as angels floating in vapors? Well, Solomon tells us in our study that the world is the vapor. This life is the vapor. That heaven's physicality is greater. that heaven's reality is the real reality. This, even as science would tell you these days, this is the simulation. This is the world that isn't the real world. I mean, it is. It has eternal consequence, right? To think it was a simulation is not enough. But Colossians 2:17 says, these things are a shadow of things to come, the substances of Christ. Like the temple. The heavenly temple is the real temple. The earthly temple is just the shadow of it. And what is a shadow? A shadow is just a 2D reflection of me on the ground where light isn't hitting, right? We've seen a shadow. That amazing temple that Solomon built is just a reflection of what's in heaven. And whatever the enemy does, guys, he's not a creator. He's actually a destroyer. He's a thief. He only counterfeits what God makes, right? And listen to this. Hebrews 2:6 and 7 says this. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him, right? Quoting Psalms, I believe. He says, you have made him a little lower than the angels. Guys, we're made a little lower than the angels. The angels have a greater power, a greater intelligence, a greater strength than us. But we have a common designer, God. That you and I, it's the worst, dumbest lie ever. We are not descended from apes. The apes were made a little lower than us. So when you look at an ape, think of yourself in comparison to an angel. I saw that video of the ape driving the golf cart with one hand, right? He was doing it and he knew where he was going. Well, think of an angel looking at you. An angel has been around since when God created him before the earth. That's been around for thousands of years, has been given strength and power in God's presence, doesn't have the same relationship with God, isn't made in God's image, but you are, looks at you. Do you think it'd be hard to trick an ape? Why do you think it'd be hard for you to get tricked by a spiritual being? It's not. And also, do we think that angels don't have technology? Do we think that it would be impossible for an angel who's a fallen angel can come around and have some heavenly technology, so to speak, to be able to interact with the world or even lead people and deceive people and guide people into making something that they wouldn't be able to think about themselves to begin with? Again, I know I'm stretching here. I know this is a tough one. But when they come to you and tell you that there's been a UFO crash, that we found life on another planet, when we see these UFOs in the air and it's not our ships, it's not China's ships, and most of them probably are, but the one out of a million that maybe not is, do not be deceived. Maybe it's an angel just making a light show and you think it's a spacecraft, but it's an angel glowing. Maybe the angel's been hanging out and can figure out metallurgy a little better than you can, and maybe they figured out how to do something, and maybe his friend's inside holding up the metal balloon. You know, I'm just saying, use your brain a little bit. And think about it a little bit. It's not a little green man from Mars. If Mars had life, it would be covered in life. Look at Earth. Earth is covered in life. No matter where you go, it's there. Life finds a way, like Jurassic Park told us. But just think about it. Again, there's not life on other planets, guys. I don't believe God works that way. And if he did, and I'm wrong, that's okay. But think about this. God made us special for a reason. The earth is, in a sense, I believe, like the Garden of Eden, but for the whole universe. The whole universe is dead, but for the earth. The whole universe was made, even all the stars, it was made to be a clock and a calendar for us. But listen to this, guys. The telescopes that they've sent up recently to look at the background radiation of the universe, they expect us to be in some random place in the universe. The radiation would be random, because if it was all random from a Big Bang, we should just be somewhere randomly out there, as if you threw us out in the middle of the room. But we're not. We're in the center of the universe, the center of the observable universe. And they go, oh, I don't know what that means. I do. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made the earth formless and void and formed it. And the universe has gone out from this point because God made us here and he made us special. But listen to this. I know we're going to go long, so I'm going to try and wrap up real quick here. But spiritual things point to God. And so what has the enemy done? He's going to remove the spiritual, and we've gone along with him, right? Remove the spiritual. Everything's just physical. Everything's just chance. Everything's just happened. There's no spiritual realm. We're all just physical. That's why I don't trust psychology, because they don't acknowledge the spirit. But spiritual beings still exist. And so if they still exist, the enemy's like, well, I'll make them aliens, because people are going to see them. I'm going to use them But if I told them they're angels, they'll just start believing in God. So I'm going to, now that I've stripped their belief in God, I'll tell them that they're aliens. And then once we're fine with aliens and aliens being around, I'll start exalting them again and making them spiritual, something to be worshipped. Now, I'm not saying that's the final plan, but I'm just saying let's think about that. Because these things are in our, they're in our government, guys. Like I said, the government's talking about aliens. People want disclosure. I just want to talk about it. And so if being claims one day to be an alien from space, know this, they are at best a fallen angel. They are at best a demon. And again, you think they couldn't make a ship or make something to trick you? Little monkey riding your golf cart, right? I know we're made in God's image, but we are sheep. We get tricked easily. Even then, the different alien races, you do studies on what people think and what people have seen. You look at the Bible and go, oh, that looks like that. The Bible talks about this kind of spirit. And you're like, there's correlation there. But the point is, what would it do to people who are asking for disclosure? Government, tell us if there's aliens. Pilots coming out and showing footage of the Tic Tac flying across the ocean 15 years ago, and jets can't chase it, and it's changing direction and moving. All this footage from the space station. One of the guys who went to the moon said there's aliens there. Maybe he lost his mind, I don't know. But this guy's no dummy. So when it comes out, what would it do? People would immediately lose faith. It happens in all these alien movies, guys. The priests come around, well, I don't know what to do anymore. Well, yeah, because you're a priest. You didn't read your Bible. What would we begin to do? We begin, oh, you're so wise. How did you travel so far in the universe? Do you have secrets? You guys must live in peace. And we would begin to worship them and have them direct every step of our lives because they're enlightened. The angel, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, messenger of light. But maybe it won't happen that way. But if it does, Christian, let no one deceive you. Because Christians who don't know their Bibles or haven't thought it through, just like with the fire extinguisher, when that fire happens, they're going to panic. They're going to get burned. They're going to fall off. Now, I'm not saying spend your days worrying about aliens, all those things you don't. In fact, ever since I was little, I've thought, if I see an alien, when I was 9 years old watching X-Files, my mom always told me if I saw an angel or something to say, in Jesus' name, get away, right? Because if they were of God, they wouldn't. So I know if I ever see an alien, I'm just going, in Jesus' name, get out of here, right? They're going to flee. But let no one deceive you, Christian. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. I know we're going long, but I'm going to wrap it up here. Unless the falling away comes first. There's going to be a falling away, God says, even of the church. The church is going to fall away from faith. And I believe we see that these days now. And it's not from one event. It's not from one doctrine. It's multi-pronged. Any good military comes in with the Air Force, the Navy, the guys, the cyber warfare, the drones. They've got multiple pronged attack to overwhelm. And that's what the enemy has done to the world and even the church with deception. And on a spiritually weak and easily deceived church that has no roots, when that windstorm of deception keeps blowing, they're going to fall away, guys. But God does not want you to fall away. God wants you to stand strong no matter what the deception is, no matter what they're teaching. And I'm going to do it. Bear with me. But the foundation of all these attacks is doctrines of demons, the Bible says. The Spirit expressly says in 1 Timothy 4, and we've read this a lot lately, that in the latter times, where are we living? The latter times, some will depart from the faith. What were you talking about? A great falling away. Why? Because they gave heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Demons, fallen angels, teach. That's what Satan did in the garden. He gave Eve a new doctrine. Did God really say, this is what I say, Eve? He taught her something else, and she was deceived and went along with it. You know, scientists have long taught about multiple dimensions, but guess what? Rabbis and biblical scholars of thousands of years have looked at Genesis and seen multiple dimensions. Again, I gave the illustration, right? But these are, if you've seen the movie Interstellar, they talk about different dimensions and beings that we've evolved into beings from different dimensions. But these beings from the heavenly dimension can come into ours. In fact, they go back and forth for a season. Read the beginning of Job. They go back and forth with heaven and earth, giving an account of what they've been doing. And the Bible talks about sorcery, guys, as we close here. Witchcraft, pharmakia, the Bible is, the word says. That word pharmakia is where we get the word pharmacy. Now, that's not the Bible teaching don't take medicine. That's the Bible saying don't take psychedelic drugs, that this word pharmakia was. They used to go, in fact, the temple of Ephesus. I know you're letting me go crazy tonight. It's fun. I'll stop. Sunday will be more normal. But they used to go in caves, and there were toxic fumes, and they would do drugs in the caves, these priestesses, and they would get high and begin to communicate with demons. This was their praise of Dionysus, whoever was in the Ephesus, right? Look at all the drugs that are illegal in our country now. It's related. Because drugs, psychedelic drugs, open people up to the spiritual realm. Ask me how I know. They open people up to schizophrenia. Marijuana use makes your mind go crazy because it opens it up. LSD, all these other things I'm not going to talk about in front of my kids, they do that. In fact, I'm going to talk about one, though. And this is a scary one, guys. Because it's becoming so normal in certain circles of society. It's called DMT. It comes from a South American drug called ayahuasca, where these witch doctors would mix a potion and drink it and have visions that people will travel to South America to drink it. But the scary thing is, guys, and again, it's a drug. It could just be an effect. It could just be a deception, right? Obviously, it's a deception because it's not from God. And there's a reason why God says don't play with it, because it opens up your mind and you're a spiritual being. And you don't want to open up your mind if the Holy Spirit isn't in there, because something else is going to come in, like the Bible says. But this thing that they take, when they take it, everyone gets the same vision. They see the same creatures. They see the same workings. They call them machine elves. And they promise healing and light and warmth and enlightenment. If this drug is not just a hallucination, they're seeing something of the enemy. And what does the world want? One world government, surveillance, AI, right? And no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what you read, these amazing scientific discoveries. Remember, the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. They tell you that they discovered something. Well, read about it a little bit. See if it's peer-reviewed. See what the politics were at play that got this thing approved. Let no one deceive you. Because 1 Corinthians 14:33, as we close, says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. That God has given you a brain. Use it. Be spiritually minded. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 1 Peter tells us, 5:8, be sober. That's a big thing in your mind, to be sober. Be vigilant. Be ready to fight. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. If you're tossed by these things, you don't need to study. Never think about this ever again if you don't want to. Let this just be that warning. But know this, to think for yourself and not be deceived. And again, on the flip side, don't get taken away by manipulative conspiracy theory. I heard it said that we always want the story that's more sensational. We like that. In our day and age of the internet and everyone having a platform, there's people who are just flat out liars. You have to fact check it. It's so hard to find truth. And there's people who thrive on that, who think they're going after the truth, but they're deceived and they're deceiving others because they don't think it through and they like the salacious story over the truth. So you and I, Christian, as we close here, on this one, aren't you glad? I'm glad too. Let no one deceive you. And the way to do that is if we stay in His Word, we pray, and we use the brain that God has given us to say, hey, I want to know the truth. I want to stay out of the dark. But if that darkness comes, I'm going to be able to recognize it because the Scripture has told me how these things work and what the truth really is. Amen? Amen, God. So thank you for your word. Please forgive me if I've gone off too far or jumped off the deep end or splashed too much water. But God, I just want us to not be deceived. In an age of deception, Lord, I know you don't want us to be tricked. So most of all, let us know you better. If we know you, it don't matter who shows up to us, God, because we're going to know they're not from you. They're not of you. They don't speak for you. They don't match your word. And they're clearly a messenger of wrong, evil. So God, we look to you. We thank you for giving us the truth and setting us free in it. So God, help us to live for you no matter what the world believes, no matter what scary thing is out there. Let us never be afraid because you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There is a vineyard of the Lord.
is a vineyard for our soul. With all our troubles left behind, and all we drink first light until